From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Friday, February 17th. Coming up, a steady stream of former Illinois lawmakers lost their jobs amid federal corruption charges, but not their state pensions. We'll get details from Dave McKinney coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An East St. Louis early childhood education center could be a model for others across the state. That's if state lawmakers approve Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's $250 million proposal for universal pre-K and raises for child care workers. Will Bauer has more.
Pritzker said Wednesday at the State of the State address he wanted Illinois to expand free preschool. 20,000 new children would be covered by the plan over the next 4 years. The governor touted his proposal at the Vivian Adams Early Childhood Center in East St. Louis Thursday. That school already offers free, full-day pre-K, which is why Pritzker hopes others can copy their model. Principal Melanie Hood told the gathering it's important to offer quality education for all.
You know from personal experience that the following African proverb is true. It takes a village to raise a child.
Despite the free option, the East St. Louis School District says there are still a few kids in the area currently eligible to attend preschool that don't. I'm Will Bauer.
Urbana school officials say they're considering closing Wiley Elementary at the end of this school year to carry out renovations and address problems with asbestos. At a meeting last week, the school board did not present a concrete plan for the future of the students, staff, or the building, but community members who attended say they're fighting this proposal. To them, the asbestos is not an urgent enough problem for a rushed closure that could potentially displace Wiley students and staff permanently. Mabruka Yazidi has a kindergartner at Wiley.
We specifically bought a house that went to school at Wiley. We want to invest everything we have into public school. And to me, it's just heartbreaking that we're going to have to leave this community that we chose.
The proposal says 243 students would be affected by the closure. The board will vote on this proposal next week. Three candidates are running for Champaign mayor on April 4th, one incumbent, one former mayor, and a challenger making his second bid for the office. In our third report on the mayor's race, Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows looks at challenger Azark David Cobbs.
Cobb says crime is a major problem that hurts all of Champaign, but especially poor and historically black areas like the Garden Hills neighborhood where he lives. He compares that to more affluent areas like Southwest Champaign.
You can see speckles of crime and violence that's affected, you know, in Southwest Champaign. But here, we're hearing gunshots every night in Garden Hills and the black neighborhoods and everything. We don't get the attention.
Cobb says poorer neighborhoods in Champaign's North End are last in line for infrastructure improvements and other services because of a city administration that doesn't listen to neighborhood leaders. He says as mayor, he would be more attentive to community needs, not just listening to the same people that he says have held the same advisory posts for too long. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
In addition to Cobbs, candidates include former Mayor Don Girard and incumbent Mayor Deborah Frank Finan. A union representing graduate student employees at the University of Illinois held its 23rd bargaining session in nearly a year yesterday. At a news conference afterward outside the Illini Union, co-president of the Graduate Employees Organization, Carla Sanabria Veas, said the university is failing to negotiate a fair contract. She says the university's actions are pushing the union toward the possibility of a strike.
Having to stretch meals and groceries because our accounts are close to empty, not knowing how to pay rent next month, the anxiety of overdraft fees from banks are the many things this administration is solely responsible for.
University spokesperson Robin Kaler did not immediately respond to questions about the union members' comments. The next bargaining session is scheduled for March 2nd at the Illini Union. Still to come, a look at why and how former Illinois lawmakers in trouble with the law have kept their pensions. We'll get that story from Dave McKinney coming up next on 217 Today.
This week on the Atomic Age Cocktail Party, we're naming names. Songs featuring names in their titles. We've got Laura's and Maria's, Johnny's and Bernie's, and a whole musical address book filled for you. I'm your host, Jason Croft. Join me Friday nights at 9 and Saturday nights at 11 on WILL FM 90.9 and on demand at will.illinois.edu.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. A steady stream of former Illinois lawmakers lost their jobs amid federal corruption charges, but not their state pensions. The group includes tax cheats, indicted former House Speaker Michael Madigan, and his inner circle who are awaiting trial. Dave McKinney has more on how corruption has not cracked the retirement nest eggs for some past state officials.
Former State Senator Terry Link was a government mole. He wore a wire on a fellow state lawmaker, though he refused to admit it as reporters chased him through the state capitol in 2019.
I'm not going to continuously answer this every day of my life. I'm down here to do a job that I was elected to do, and that's what I'm going to do.
But that was in the state house. In the courthouse the following year, Link admitted to his own crime, that he didn't pay his share of state and federal taxes. Link had been using campaign contributions for personal expenses. There's a state law against using campaign money that way. Link even voted for it. But a panel with the power to revoke a lawmaker's retirement determined Link could keep his state pension. Attorney General Kwame Raoul said because Link's admitted wrongdoing, using campaign cash for personal expenses and the tax evasion that went along with that, didn't, quote, relate to his time as a state senator. That panel sided with Raoul's reasoning. All told, Link has cashed about $200,000 in state pension checks the past 2 years. House Republican leader Toni McCombie says her constituents would be outraged to learn they're the ones paying for Link's retirement benefit.
They would definitely be appalled. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it.
You have corrupt legislators collecting a pension that is paid for by them.
WBEZ has documented nearly $2 million in pension payments to former Illinois legislators and ex-state officials ensnared in a sprawling federal corruption probe. Those payments also have gone to, in one case, a widow, and in another, an ex-wife. Included on that list is former Democratic State Representative Edward Acevedo. He also pleaded guilty to federal tax evasion. The state panel, again acting on Raul's advice, awarded Acevedo his state pension last year. Some of the more than $265,000 that Acevedo has received came while he was in federal prison. Told of WBEZ's findings, Democratic State Senator Mary Edley Allen says it's hard to grasp why felonious ex-lawmakers are drawing taxpayer-funded pensions. She favors barring anyone convicted of felonies from getting that benefit.
We need to start over again and pass something that doesn't allow this to happen in the future. It's really a betrayal of the public's trust.
Another admitted wrongdoer is the late Democratic State Senator Martin Sandoval. Sandoval admitted pocketing more than $250,000 in bribes while in office and entered into a federal plea deal on bribery and tax evasion charges.
I take full responsibility for my actions. I'm ashamed and I'm sorry. I want to apologize to the people of Illinois and to my constituents.
But Sandoval died several months after his plea deal was announced, so he never was convicted of any felonies. That's one reason his widow is now drawing part of his legislative pension, close to $100,000 the past 2 years. Democratic Senator Robert Martwick chairs the state panel that oversees legislative pensions. Martwick says his board chose to follow the advice of the Attorney General, and he doesn't think more legal deterrents are needed.
Every one of those decisions, they never come easy.
Marwick's panel could be busy in the future. Former House Speaker Michael Madigan is set for trial next year for racketeering, bribery, and conspiracy. He's gotten more than $200,000 in state pension payments since 2021. Several of Madigan's closest advisors, including former lobbyist Michael McLean, also face their own upcoming federal trials, and they've been drawing state pensions as well. McCombie and Republican State Representative Amy Elick want to stop these kinds of pension payments to ex-state officials under criminal indictment. But both say their pending legislation may need to be broadened given WBEZ's findings. Here's Elick.
This is one more reason not to trust politicians.
Raul's office and an attorney for Acevedo declined comment, and lawyers for Link and Sandoval didn't respond to multiple email inquiries from WBEZ. This is Dave McKinney.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be partly cloudy and colder today with a high of 33 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Will Bauer, May Antar, Jim Meadows, Pyotr Fedchuk, and Dave McKinney. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.